The scripture reading from John's Gospel stopped short of that 31st verse, which is really the text verse of the Gospel of John. John says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." What does it mean to believe in Jesus Christ? What is this mysterious power, this force of faith? How does it transform lives? I don't know how it does it. 4 or 5 years ago, a group of 34 students from secular universities in Washington State, Tulane University, took a trip, a study trip, into the Amazon jungles of South America. And their guide for the last leg of their journey was a man named Stephen Saint. He happens to be the son of Nate Saint, who was one of 5 men who went into these same jungles 46 years ago. And I'm going to give you their names again because we should never forget their names. Nate Saint, Ed McCulley, Jim Elliott, Pete Fleming, Roger Udarian, who was the only non-academic. Well, I guess he was a college graduate, but he was a paratrooper and a jungle specialist, you would call it that. He married a girl from Lansing, Michigan. I used to play in the band at Eastern High School there with her brother. So they went to South Baptist Church. They're real people. This is not just a story that you read in a book about something somebody dreamed up. By the way, Steve Saint is on a tour, I understand, right now with Stephen Curtis Chapman, the singer, who I've never heard, and I wouldn't recognize him if he came down the aisle. I'm 71 years old. I still can't get over what they sang at the end of that service this morning. I'm surprised they knew what it was, though. Where was I? I totally lost my... Oh, the tour, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Steve Saint, and a man named Chemo are traveling the Christian circuit right now. And Chemo's in my sermon this morning. You'll see where, okay? This group of 34 students had come to study what they thought would be Stone Age people. They wanted to know, you know, the anthropology firsthand. And what they didn't realize was some of the people that were friends to Stephen Saint were like his kids' grandparents now. They were just, they were family and friends. Anyway, they traveled, it was a long trip. They traveled by air from the West Coast to Quito, got on a bus, went through the jungles as far as the roads would take them. And then they walked for 14 hours. They had 3 little jungle people guiding them. And then at the end of the trail, they got into big dugout canoes, and they went some more with those outboard motors. So they finally came to a campsite along a jungle river, where they were joined by other members of this Huarani tribe. We called them Alcas. They called themselves Huarani. So they're Huarani, really. And the students had enjoyed the fellowship of these 3 guides, and then when they got there, they just were made so welcome. Finally, they asked Steve Saint, "Well, when are we going to meet the Stone Age people?" And Steve Saint said, "They're sitting all around you." And the students said, "Nah, we don't believe it." And so Steve said, "Well, why don't you just ask any one of these older people where their dad and mother is today?" And so they did, and he translated it. And they sat there for a little while. And finally, one of the girl students nodded to one of the women, said, "Where's your father?" And the answer translated something like this: "My father is already dead a long time. Having been speared, he died." And then four other Harani people told the same story. And one woman that had been particularly charming, she had 10 children, she had a friendly mother, she pointed to a man across the circle and she said, "He hated my family and he killed all of them." And the students were beginning to get the message. They really were with Stone Age people, and they were stunned, and they had second thoughts about how far into the jungle they were and how they were going to get out. And then Dawa, one of the quietest women, spoke up. And if you were here last Sunday, you know this is a sequel. And Dawa was one of the women who was accompanying the men who killed the five missionaries and was hidden in the bush when the actual killing went on and saw angels in the treetops. But Dawa, one of the quietest women, spoke up, and she pointed at Kimo sitting next to Steve Saint, Uncle Kimo, the grandfather to Saint's children. And she said, and I'm using his words, "He is Kimo. He, hating my family, speared my father and mother and brothers and sisters and took me for his wife," some courtship. And that really stunned the students, because they were deep in the jungle and they had to depend on these people to get them out. And Steve Saint said, then he put it together, he realized what they must be thinking. They didn't know the story about what happened 46 years ago. It's so familiar to us older Christians. We've heard about these five through gates of splendor and so forth. So he put his arm around Kimo and he told the students, "This man killed my father too." And then there was silence. And at last one of the students found the courage to ask Steve, "Well, what has changed these people?" And Steve said in Harani language, "What has changed you?" And then the Stone Age people tried to tell the students how it used to be before they had changed. They said if they had a sick baby and cried a lot, they just took it over to the jungle and pitched it in the jungle. They said if somebody got really sick or they were in their enemy, and they would bury them alive so that their spirit couldn't follow them where they were going. Some of the people in that circle had actually strangled their own children with their own hand. And then they tried to explain how the missionaries had come and told them about a God who was the man maker, the God above everything, who loved people, and who had sent his son to die so that they wouldn't have to hate, and they wouldn't have to have revenge, and that they wouldn't have to be afraid of the supernatural. They tried to explain what believe means. "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And then Dawa, Kimo's wife, spoke again. And once again, I'm quoting from Steve Saint's words written in the Christianity Today magazine. "Badly, badly we lived back then," Dawa said. "Now, walking God's trail, which he has marked for us on paper," meaning the Bible, "we live well. All people will die, but if living you follow God's trail, then dying will lead you to heaven. But only one trail leads there. All other trails lead to where God will never be after death." Pretty good speech for a Stone Age woman. Pretty good message. And the students fell silent again, and Dawa went on to give her own version of what we Nazarenes would call an altar call. She said, "Have you heard me well? Which of you wants to follow God's trail, living well?" And the students were silent again, and then finally, one of those secular students from Washington State put up her hand. And Steve said that Dawa understood what that raised hand meant. And she clapped her hands and she said, "Now I see you well. Leaving, we will see each other again in God's place someday." And then she looked at the other 33 and she said, "Dying, I will never see you again if you don't follow God's trail. Think well on what I have spoken so that dying, we can live happily together in heaven." 34 students of anthropology had traveled thousands of miles thinking they were going to get a college course on something, gone into the jungle to hear about the most powerful force in all the universe, the miracle force that can take hatred out of people's hearts, can change them, life-changing force. And I got to thinking, if jungle people can hear about the love of God and it can take the hatred and killing out of their hearts, how about Nashua people hearing about the grace of God and taking the gossip out of their hearts, taking the hatred and the selfishness and making us actually like Jesus? I believe we can do it. What is this business of believing in Jesus? And I've got an outline here. I won't try to develop it, but I've got down here, believing is a strong word. In our English language, when we say, "Is such and such a fact?" and say, "Well, I believe so," it's not as strong as "I know so." But the Bible, "believe," is a strong word. And it means to put everything that we have and everything that we are into the trust that God gives us. I think "believe" has got two definite parts to it. That's what we got in that Romans passage. What does it say there? "If we confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved." And the first part is to believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he really died for your sins, but that he rose again and sits at the right hand of God the Father? If you believe that, that's pretty fantastic. That's really something supernatural. That's something that we haven't invented. And you can't just say, "I believe, I'm going to believe." It's a gift of God to really believe that that took place and is taking place for us right now. And that's part of it. Do you believe that? But the other part is to say, "Yes, I believe and I will follow you. Jesus is Lord." And you put the two together, don't you see? There's a crisis and there's a commitment. Psychologists talk about people finding identity. Then they've discovered a scriptural truth along the way. They say that for people who find a crisis of identity, a song to sing, a flag to follow, a creed to believe, and then make a commitment to it, they find identity. And there are people that have found the song but have never made the commitment, and those people are living in a foreclosure. And there are people that have made a commitment and never have made the song, and they're around the church and they're doing the things that Christians do, but they really haven't had that vision. They're in foreclosure. But for those who've made the commitment, "I believe and I will obey and I will follow," they've found an identity. They know who they are. To me, that's what faith is. Faith is daring to say to Jesus, "I don't understand you, and you're way above me in a lot of ways, but I believe you love me, and I'll follow you. The ball's in your court. You show me which way to go, and I'll do it." Faith, believing, is a doorway. It brings us into life. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. But it's also not just a doorway, but it's a pathway. And it's dynamic. And it's relational. And we need to get in step with King Jesus and walk with him. We're not saved by being absolutely perfect. We're not saved by what we do, but we're saved by who we walk with and who we follow. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we have the choice. Commit our way to him. And he said, he will direct thy path. Well, there's more we could say, but let's do something about it this morning. This table is a visible, outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace. Jesus gave it to us as a way of confessing our faith. I told the early service that I had a funeral 2 or 3 weeks ago of one of the gentlemen's grandmothers that was here. And her name was Estelle Whitaker. And I went and dug up some letters, a particular letter she had written to me as pastor. And her testimony was, she was a woman of the world and away from the Lord. She went to a retreat and they were celebrating communion and she was invited. And as she partook of the communion, the bread and the cup, she said it was as though lead had been taken out of her heart. And she was free again. It was a visual way of expressing faith in Jesus. So wherever you are in your spiritual journey this morning, this is not my table. This is not Community Chapel's table. Not Nazarene. It's the Lord's table. And he's the host. And if he invites you to come, you better prepare and come. You say, well, I'm not right where I ought to be this morning. Well, we're going to pray. When we pray, you say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Let me follow you. Confess the Lord Jesus. Believe that God has raised you from the dead. You shall be what? You shall be saved. You're backslidden this morning. Don't come lightly or irreverently. 1 Corinthians 11. The next verse says, examine yourself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So if the Lord invites you this morning, this is a time when we can say, I believe. I believe. I believe. And believing, we can have life. We can go out different than we came in this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. And as we pray, you dedicate your heart. I'll dedicate mine. I love to take communion. Father, this morning we come to you. Indeed, we come with people from around the world, for this is Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we think of people of different denominations and different ways of worship who still say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. So, Lord, even though Community Chapel is just a little corner of your vineyard, we are a part of a great table this morning. And we gladly hear you say, come and partake. We pray, Lord, that you will search my heart and search our hearts together as we come. See if there be any way of wandering, any way of wickedness, any deviation. And we pray that you'll forgive us and lead us in the way everlasting. And help us to remember that you died for our sins and that you live for our eternal life, begun below, right here and now. So, bread of life, be our strength. Water of life, be our refreshing. And oh, let the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. As you eat this, do it in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when they had supped and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Drink ye all of it and be thankful. So, our Father, we are grateful to you for the gift of life. And as we come, we pray that you will make this a true sacrament to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy things are for holy people, for God's people. You're invited this morning. Would you come and partake together?